You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Let me tell you something, folks. As soon as last week's show was over, and last week's show was a great show, as were all of the episodes during the month of March, as were have been all of the episodes this year, in fact. Really our entire run, if you want to get all the way back down to the beginning. But when last week's show was over, I instantly got excited because I knew our very next show, tonight's show, the live broadcast for Saturday, April the 6th, would be the show in which we kick off our annual Confederate History Month series. And I would like to welcome you to Confederate History Month 2019. I'm James Edwards with Keith Alexander. Confederate History Month, of course, traditionally has been a month that was designated by state governments in the South for the purpose of recognizing the history of the Confederate States of America and the sons from the Confederate States of America who fought on behalf of their nation. April has traditionally been chosen because Confederate Memorial Day fell during that month, this month, in many of those states. So we do our part here to honor the brave sons of the South who were outnumbered and outsupplied but never outfought. And during each live episode of TPC that we air this month, you've got four episodes in April, so you can expect a couple of hours of programming that are going to be devoted to all things Southern. Now, we have had an illustrious lineup of guests, including, but of course not limited to, people like Michael Andrew Grissom, the noted and celebrated Southern author, and South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell, among others, who have appeared in our Confederate History Month series in years past. We celebrate Confederate History Month because of our genuine pride in our Southern heritage here in Memphis and our deep love and respect for our ancestors who fought to preserve the American way of life from 1861 to 1865. What is love if not protecting your own family and standing at the ready to defend their honor and their name when need be? You are not a man if you do not defend the name of your fathers. So we invite you to join us throughout this month. Don't miss a single installment as we pay tributes to the boy in gray. Now, I know that this show has grown to the point where it's not only a local show or a regional show anymore. We have listeners all over the world. I hope that you will understand that who would we be if we said, well, we have listeners all over the country now. They might not feel the same exact connection to the South as we do, so we're just not going to do it. Well, that's not the way we do business, and I hope that you would not respect us as much if it was. Now, certainly, I do want to say this to our brothers and our sisters in the North and in the West and in other places on God's good earth, that you are with us in mind and in spirit. And in many ways, you are certainly more of a family to us than people, well, the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention, for instance, who shares the ancestors that we so revere, but are ashamed of it. And we are ashamed of them. These men that we honor this month were better Americans than you or I will ever know, and long may their memory live in the hearts and the minds of all decent people. I put this up on Twitter today. Do you know what your great-great-great-grandfather was doing 157 years ago today? I'm lucky enough to know the answer to that for myself. Mine was fighting to defend his nation at the Battle of Shiloh, which commenced on this day, April 6th, 1862. So proud doesn't even begin to cover it. As someone actually commented in response to my tweet, pride just doesn't cover it. It doesn't cover the magnitude of the gratitude that we have towards these brave men. But there mine was 157 years ago today, riding with the Confederate cavalry at Shiloh. What an honor it is to have that sort of blood in my veins. To have that in my DNA, when compared to what men like that, like my ancestors and Keith's ancestors, we actually put up an article on the blog this week, The Confederate Ancestry of Keith Alexander. What a proud legacy Keith has. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But how can we be concerned with what we've had to endure as truth-telling radio hosts when compared to that? Sure, I mean, we have to go through a lot more here than most men in this day and age are willing to suffer in this soft and flabby, degenerate time that we live in. But it's filthy rags when held up to the bravery and commitment of these men. people respect and appreciate what we do. We get letters like it every week telling us. Well, and I respect my Confederate ancestors for setting the example for me to follow. I don't know if we'd be here if we didn't have that sort of blood, the blood that runs in the Scotch-Irish in us. We were born to fight, and this is how we fight right now, right here on the airwaves. Keith, great to have you tonight.
Thanks. And by the way, I had ancestors fighting at Shiloh, too. IES Alexander, Independence Ellen Schuler Alexander.
Now, that's a name. Say that again.
Independence Ellen Schuler Alexander. He went by IES. That's what's on his gravestone. I've know right where his grave is and made sure that my children know where that grave is. It's in Forest Hill Cemetery, Midtown in Memphis. Next to him is his wife, Adelaide. And then he had a brother, President Washington Alexander, if you can believe it. I think they were running out of names. I think he was one of...
His first name was President.
Yeah. Or President Washington. Who knows? But anyway, see, he came from a family of 12. And those two did. And President Washington Alexander was killed at Shiloh. IES Alexander was badly wounded. But you see, back then, we weren't talking about birth rates. People lived on farms. Children were an unmitigated blessing to farm families because that provided them with more hands to do the work. And labor was always a shortage in the American frontier. There was always a shortfall. In fact, that's why slavery was, used in the South in particular, because they needed people that could stand the heat, the sun, and be resistant to these tropical diseases like malaria, things like that, to work in the South. So all of this fits together, and I would imagine that James's ancestors came from a fairly large family, too. I don't know if he knows exactly how many children were in his.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, the large families on my father's side, the Edwards side, and my mother's side, the McGregor side, I mean, they were still having 13 and 14 siblings up until my grandparents' generation. So, sure.
And furthermore, none of my ancestors... None of my ancestors had slaves. You know, this idea that the South was, just overrun with slaves, and most white people from the Civil War era had slaves in the South, is one of the great lies that is foisted on the American people, or on the world's people, that we're going to explode in our series this month about the history of the Civil War.
Somebody has got to tell the truth. I mean, you're not going to hear it in school. You're not going to see it in movies. You're not going to even find it in books, unless you can find books that were written shortly after that era. And so that's what we do during the month of April. Now, it's just four shows. If it's not your cup of tea, we are still going to have... It should be, first of all. It should be, whether you're a Southerner or not. This is history. These people, these men who fought for the South, represented the last best chance at staving off the Washington Leviathan. So for that alone, that glorious Confederate flag that stands as a symbol of resistance to tyranny, that is something we can all rally behind no matter where we live in the world. But it's four shows. That's it. That's Confederate History Month. It starts tonight. Three more shows in April. But we are still going to be covering current events and contemporary political topics. And that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of this first hour. Then we're going to kick off with a little preview there. We're going to kick off Confederate History Month fully in the second hour. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
So what's on tap tonight, what's scheduled, is that in our second hour, we're going to officially kick off our Confederate History Month series. You just got a taste of it there in that first segment, I guess you could say. But Keith is going to be offering us a little dissertation on the causes that led to the war between the states. Later in the broadcast, former Marine and retired history teacher and current caretaker of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Childhood Home in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, Gene Andrews is going to be back on the show to talk about General Forrest and what really happened at Fort Pillow. All of this, plus, as I said, current news and events coming your way tonight on TPC. Want to first read just a couple of letters that came in, if we could. This one from a listener in Maryland. James and TPC gang, spring is coming, and we can see a rebirth of the world around us. Thanks for fighting for a new world for the children of European peoples. And, of course, happy Easter. Thank you so much, my friend, for that letter. And that's another thing that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks, is we're going to do an hour on Easter. So that is something that hopefully our Christian listeners can appreciate. This one comes from a listener in South Carolina. Dear James, thank you for the opportunity to contribute to your radio program. You've been an inspiration to me since I started listening 2 years ago. Keep fighting the good fight. Well, God bless you for that, and it's truly our honor. You got it wrong on that. It's our honor that you would contribute, but we're honored that you did.
It's our honor that you even listen.
That's absolutely right. Sure, absolutely. All right, I've been monitoring this whole comeuppance that the Southern Poverty Law Center is experiencing right now. Now, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Morris Deeds was under fire. Richard Cohen resigned. Maybe a couple of others have resigned as well. And a big article this week in Fox News, Southern Poverty Law Center faces racism, corruption, sexual harassment claims. And I see here on in this subheading, following the firing of a Southern Poverty Law Center co-founder amid accusations of harboring a sexist and racist workplace culture, conservative leaders urge tech giants to cut ties with the SPLC. This is what I found really pathetic about that. The SPLC has been doing evil work for decades, targeting the very people that these so-called conservative leaders claim to represent, claim to be like. And that was never enough. All of the organizations and individuals, good people, that the SPLC has maliciously tried to damage or ruin or whatever. And the conservative leaders could never find the gumption to go after them. But now, only after the SPLC has been accused of sexism and racism, Frankenstein's monsters come back to get them, I guess. Now the conservatives can go after hammer and tong. Now we've seen where Senator Tom Cotton in Arkansas, and I'm glad that he did. It was a fine letter that he sent to the IRS, the head of the IRS, saying, you know, you need to revoke this. He called them a defamatory hate group. That is what they are. You need to revoke their 501c3 status. They are essentially a political action smear group, and they don't deserve to be tax exempt. All of that's true, but it took, Keith, it took the accusations of sexism and racism coming back to roost at the SPLC for these conservatives to finally say, yeah, we got to go after them now. We got them.
Well, two things on that topic. First of all, politicians like Tom Cotton depend on the votes of the type of people that run afoul of the political correctness of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is basically the primary enforcer of political correctness. They're the ones that do all the spade work to get up all the dirt on people and then throw it into the public media firefight, I guess, and let us twist in the wind. And of course, people like Tom Cotton will never come to the rescue of James Edwards or the political cesspool or anyone else that is fearlessly proclaiming the truth on the issues of the day.
That's a great point. That's another thing that we have seen in so many of these, you know, conservative so-called leaders and organizations going after the SPLC now that there's a little blood in the water. And again, whatever it takes, I'm happy to see the SPLC get, again, they're a little bit of a comeuppance to the extent that a $500 million organization can suffer. I do hope that they lose their taxes. I would love to see them shut down. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of these complaints begin with, the SPLC started as a good organization fighting racism, but they really got out of hand. And, you know, they need to get a little slap on the hand now.
Well, it's like Emma Bovary.
They were always bad.
Look, it's like Flaubert's novel about Madame Bovary. He said, Madame Bovary, she is us. Well, guess what, Tom Cotton? All of the people that are taken, they're on the list of hate groups, not just a few of them, are being unfairly vilified. You can't pick and choose, which is what our modern mainstream Republican hierarchy wants to do. They want to say, it's totally improper that James Dobson's Focus on the Family or Tony Perkins's American Family Council is on this list. Of course, nasty old folks like the political cesspool and whatnot, they deserve it. See, that's what they do. They keep trying to make peace with people that hate their guts. And they hate them just as much as they hate us. And you're not gaining any dispensation for yourself by punching right. So stop punching right. That's one thing. Another thing is, if they take away the Southern Poverty Law Center's 501c3 tax-exempt status because of sexual problems or sexual infractions and things like that, of course, the NAACP would have to go far, you know, sooner than the SPLC, because ever since they started having, let's say, in the mid-70s, they've been a paper tiger. Once they lost their Jewish leadership, the only time you hear about them is when they're having a financial scandal or a sexual scandal. And other than that, they just are the Me Too, Amen corner for leftist activism that is put in play by more active groups that are headed directly by Jewish power and influence, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, or the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. They're the ones that are originating all these charges, and then they just go by obligatorily to the NAACP and say, yeah, amen to that. So the Southern Poverty Law Center, if they made it their policy at the IRS to get everyone that has, allegations of sexual impropriety against them, the NAACP would be at the top of the list for being booted from 501c3 status.
I'll tell you this. I am proud I've always said this. I said it back in 2006 when we first got designated as a hate group. Now, that's another thing. How can the political cesspool be a hate group? It's me and Keith. I mean, no, seriously. I mean, it's me. Keith. I mean, you know the people that are on this show. Winston, Jack Ryan, our announcer Art Frith, Sam Bushman. I mean, you're talking about less than 10 people make up the entire staff and crew of TPC. I mean, that's a hate group? A radio show staff is a hate group? I mean, we're not even a group per se, but whatever. We've been listed as a hate group since 06.
We're a voice in the wilderness. We're not rich. We're not, basically we dare to tell the truth on the issues of the day, and that has put us to run afoul of the mainstream, the establishment of today, which is what was called the counterculture in 1960s. But, you know, we deserve all this special treatment. We deserve an Orwellian two-minute hate about once a week from them. But on the other hand, people like the SPLC that have hundreds of millions of dollars at their disposal, they've raised over the years, and they intrude themselves into as much of American culture and Western culture as they possibly can. There's nary a discouraging word from the mainstream until this. And of course, what do they do? What does Tom Cotton do? It's like Democrats are the real racists. You know, that type of jumping into all of that.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to follow up a little bit more on this. A few more hot takes, some reflections on the SPLC and our relationship with them over the years, or their attack. It's a pretty one-way relationship. They attack us, and we treat it
like Old Man River. We just keep rolling along.
Brer Rabbit in the Briar Pasture. But we'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump thanked members of the Republican Jewish Coalition for backing him in 2016 and says they have an important role to play in his re-election campaign in 2020. He spoke to the group in Las Vegas, where he also denounced asylum seekers trying to enter the United States from Mexico.
Oh, give him asylum. He's afraid. He's afraid. We don't love the fact that he's got tattoos on his face. That's not a good sign. We don't love the fact that he's carrying the flag of Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador, only to say he's petrified to be in his country.
For now, the president is backing off his threat to close down the southern border. He said he's giving Mexico 1 year to work on the problem. He's also threatening a 25% tariff on cars imported from Mexico. This is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allyn Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is defending herself after her office dropped all charges against actor Jesse Smollett. He was accused of lying to police, saying he was the target of a racist and homophobic attack in Chicago a few months ago.
The efforts that I've had on criminal justice reform that were once celebrated by many in this county that are now being attacked because of one case and one celebrity, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is this really about?
A group of suburban Chicago police chiefs and the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police are calling for Fox to step down. The Trump administration is asking for up to 2 years to find the thousands of lost children who were separated from their parents at the border with Mexico before a judge halted the practice last year.
The Justice Department said in a court filing on Friday in San Diego that it will take at least a year to review the cases of the 47,000 children who were taken into custody. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm going to read a little something, and then we'll get Keith's response. So what I was saying a moment ago is I'm proud to be officially listed as a hate group on the SPLC's list every year.
You're a hate group all by yourself.
Every year when they announce the release of their new accounting of hate groups, I rush to the website to make sure we're still there. I'd be so disappointed if we were not. And we were there long before it was cool, going all the way back to 2006, just not many months after we first started the show. In the fall of 04.
We were country when country wasn't cool.
So we've held that distinction of honor since 06. Glad to see a little karma come back on these liars and frauds, but I'll put it out there, and I'll put it on Twitter. I went back and revisited some of the SPLC's biggest articles about this show, and I reposted them to Twitter. And when someone tells a lie about you, I don't run from it. I don't apologize for the lie. I shine light on the lie and expose the liar. I will never apologize for being an unabashed defender of my ancestors. We were talking about our Confederate ancestors at the top of the show. 157 years ago, my great-great-great-grandfather was charging in the battle on the back of a horse. I mean, how could I receive that glorious patrimony if I can't handle some hucksters pounding away on a keyboard writing bad words about me? It's nothing. Now, and if more people had our mentality, the world would be a better place. So we urge the men of the West to stand. I reposted to Twitter a personal entry that the SPLC wrote about me and a detailed magnum opus that they wrote on, about the show. Going back to 2006, 2007, now they used to write about us just about every week. Now there's some other people out there doing what we're doing on YouTube, and they have to spread the hate around. But I'd like to share a little bit about what they wrote. Honest men, know this, honest men will always be attacked by the forces of evil. So don't run when it happens to you.
It's just confirmation you're on the right side.
That's right. I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts of this. If you go to my Twitter, at James Edwards TPC, scroll back to about last week. I posted a couple of articles back to back about the SPLC and what they had written about us. Check them out for yourself. I don't care. The cesspool host is, well, first they said the host of a Tennessee talk show has become America's nexus of radio hate. The cesspool host is a rising star in the white nationalist movement because he's articulate, charming, and equally at ease in a television studio behind a radio microphone and standing in front of a crowd. Edwards arrived at the Council of Conservative Citizens hate conference just 3 days after his third primetime appearance on CNN in the past 2 months. Edwards is a master of carefully parsing his language so he walks the razor's edge between conservative commentary and outright neo-Nazi rhetoric. The balancing act allows him to continue to build his core audience of white nationalists without doing irrevocable damage to his mainstream political aspirations. Edwards works hard to maintain a professional appearance and demeanor, and he's doing more than anyone else in the white nationalist movement at this point to provide promotion of the views of neo-Nazis, Klan sympathizers, Holocaust deniers, academic racists, and anti-Semites. What about covers it all. Helped along by cable news television and the occasional sympathetic elected official, he's beginning to look a lot like the next David Duke, and he'd almost certainly consider that to be a compliment. And they talk about me lending a veneer of credibility to a hate-riddled ideology. I couldn't possibly cover everything they've written about this show. They've written literally 100 articles, but this is the point. This is why I share that. Donald Trump Jr. himself, who has appeared or has been interviewed by yours truly and Sam Bushman on this network, he wrote this week that it seems that the SPLC is nothing more than a leftist fraud, which everyone should have known for a long time. Good to see them getting what they deserve. Now, what Donald Trump said there is very true, but yet he still ran like a scalded dog after they attacked him for appearing on the radio with me. The interview was great. Donald Trump Jr. doubled down on everything that Sam and I said during that discussion, and I advised him to learn, grow, and do better going forward. So Donald Trump Jr. believes what the SPLC says, unless it's about his family, and that's the thing. I mean, you would say, well, James, it wasn't just the SPLC. The entire national media, hell, the entire international media talked about that interview with Donald Trump Jr. That's true, but every single one of them quoted the SPLC as their source to justify their take on who we were and what we believe.
Well, I think the key to the problem is acceptance of the left's language and vocabulary and their ideas, their ideology. For example, racism is the greatest sin. You were telling me about...
Now we're going to get to that next, but
later.
Yeah.
But anyway, like the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention buys into that totally. Racism is a totally specious concept. It was invented not back in biblical times. Abraham wasn't talking about it. Moses didn't drop one of the tablets on his way down Mount Sinai that said, "Thou shalt not commit racism." Racism was invented by a German Jewish communist in the mid-30s. There's an article by Sam Francis about the origins of racism that everybody needs to consult. Look it up. Put it in your Google box. Racism, furthermore, changes daily. What was racist today was not racist yesterday. They have now, with the concept of white privilege, made racism synonymous with white person. There's no way that you can be white and not be a racist because of white privilege. That is the, it's like the wedge with which Atlas moves the world. You know, everybody that is white is not just suspected of racism, but is definitively and categorically convicted of the crime of racism because you're white. You participate in and you reap the unfair benefits of racism even if you're a white social justice warrior, an Antifa person, or a you know, dyed-in-the-wool leftist. You're still, it's like they say in South Africa and elsewhere, your skin is your uniform. So you can try to deny, you can try to beg for a dispensation. When they break into your home with the machetes drawn, you can point to the wall and say, "Look at that NAACP membership certificate there. Look at that United Negro College Fund Golden Circle Award I've got." They're just going to look at that skin and say, "White privilege, down you go." So that's what...
Well, you see leftists all the time getting killed by the same people that they've spent their life to prop up while working against their own group interests.
In fact, it's almost like karma. These people seem to be the primary victims, not only of out-and-out violence and murderous rage, but also running afoul of political correctness.
Well, speaking of political correctness, I mean, again, this is, a rabid dog doesn't differentiate. We actually found, I read this week, what started this whole commotion at the SBLC was the complaint of a black woman. And I read this week in one source that her complaint was that Morris Dees touched her on the shoulder and asked her about a visible tattoo. That was the grievous offense that, at least according to one source that I read this week, started this whole thing.
He needs to be thrown into the mouth of the seething volcano down in, you know, Hawaii or something for doing that. See, this is how absurd it is, and it's totally absurd for any white person to think that they're going to escape judgment and condemnation at the hands of the
left. I mean, let me tell you something. If a guy like Morris Dees, who was not Jewish, I mean, he was a white Southerner, isn't
he? He had a Jewish middle name, but that's because his parents admired some Jewish guy named Seligman.
That's right. And so, I mean, if a guy like Morris Dees can't find absolution from this scourge, then I hope.
You're living in a fool's paradise if you think that they're not going to come after you eventually. In fact,
do you think,
you know, it's just like every other, it's like the communist Bolshevik revolution. Who were the first people that the real hardcore Bolsheviks went after? It wasn't the aristos. It wasn't the leadership, the conservative leadership. It was the useful idiot class that supported them because they had an instinctive attraction to left-wing policies and programs. They were the ones that got lined up against the wall before the firing squad first. And that seems to be what's happening in America. All of this political correctness is taking out people that have been trying to protest that they are more liberal than thou all the time. Well, you know, meanwhile, people like us on the right, basically the bullets are bouncing off. You know, maybe they need to learn a lesson from this, James.
Well, I'll tell you, they do. And as, you know, I was speaking of the Donald Trump Jr. comment a second ago, he piling on the SBLC, but it sure was good enough to make him run scared a couple of years ago. If you, little homework assignment for you folks, I may have told you this before some time ago. Go to Donald Trump Jr.'s Wikipedia page and tell me what's there at the very top. It says, Edwards interview. That's one of the top subheadings, and it says that Donald Trump Jr. came under fire for appearing on a radio interview with white supremacist James Edwards, of course. And it said, but it wasn't known whether or not he agreed with Edwards or was just using Edwards for political gain. That is official Wikipedia. Look, are the path to power here at TPC.
Well, you know, they ought to really try to embrace us. They probably find out that we're a lot more convivial, gregarious, and collegial than the people on the left that they're trying to cozy up to.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? But anyway, I just couldn't help but get a giggle out of the whole complaint heard around the world against Moore's deeds. I don't quite know if I would equate tapping a black woman on the shoulder and asking her about a visible tattoo, if that's sexual harassment.
With murderous rape like the Knoxville Horror, that pales in comparison to the tap on the shoulder. The heaven help
my goodness.
Us, folks.
Hey, I'll tell you the kind of people who will deliver us and the kinds of people who won't. When we come back, and then we're going to kick off Confederate History Month 2019. Stay tuned, everybody.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, since it is Confederate History Month, I won't waste very much time getting to my favorite quote ever given. It is my favorite quote ever. And that comes from the great Irishman, General Patrick Claiborne, who wrote, "If this cause that is so dear to my heart is doomed to fail, I pray heaven may let me fall with it while my face is toward the enemy and my arm battling for that which I know to be right." Now, that is probably my favorite quote in history. But there is a contemporary quote by Mark Weber that certainly is right up there with it. What Mark Weber wrote this a few months ago. If white America has a future, it won't be secured by conservatives. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of segments. It will be secured only by European Americans who embrace a worldview rooted in their heritage, history, and identity and act forthrightly to defend and promote their own group interests. Well, amen to that, Mark Weber. It will be men like that who lead our people out of this degenerate age. It won't be Republicans, it won't be conservatives, and it sure won't be modern-day church leaders. Now, this is a Christian program. In fact, we just posted a couple of days ago an article by our friend Andrew Fraser, who is a retired law professor in Australia. In his retirement, he went out and he got a degree in theology, and he wrote a book about it. And he also wrote a great article that we posted to TPC this week, Christianity from Our Common Sense Perspective. It's a good treatment. You should read it. But we are going to have an Easter special here in a couple of weeks. This is a Christian show. We publicly proclaim Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. But what is going on in the churches today is apostasy and heresy at best. Now, Keith, I meant to talk about this last week, but we didn't have time. We're going to have to work it in quick to get it done today. But anytime I want to get a pulse on what's going on in the Southern Baptist, now, why do we always talk about the Southern Baptist Convention? Well, number one, it's the largest Protestant denomination in the world. It's my home church, my ancestral church.
And the biggest church in the Southern Baptist denomination is Bellevue Baptist in Memphis.
And so if you want to get a pulse on what's going on there, you can go and listen online to one of Steve Gaines' sermons there at Bellevue. And I knew, I had a feeling after the shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand, that it was going to be bad. He was going to dish up something bad to prove that
self-flagellation. He's gnashing his teeth and rending his garments.
Well, the sermon right after that shooting was what God hates, and I knew it was going to be. I knew what it was going to be. It was going to be racism. God hates racists. God hates whites. White racists, which are the only races that there could be.
None of those sins in the Ten Commandments count anymore.
Well, here's the thing. So he gets started in the sermon, and he says, you know, God hates people who thumb their nose at other people of a different race. All right, we don't need to treat anybody bad. And then he equated abortion and racism as co-equal sin. I was like, well, there are a lot of minority races. Let's see where he's going with this. There are a lot of people who hate whites. But just to illustrate it, he made sure you knew what kind of racist he was talking about. And, of course, it's the only kind that there can be in the minds of cucks and self-hating whites. White races, and he illustrated it by saying God hates what we did to the Indians, as if, I mean, does he not know what the Indians did to the people at Jamestown?
I don't think anybody is alive now today, and one of the things about Christianity in the New Testament is that the sins of your forefathers aren't going to follow you forever. This is what he's trying to do, though. He apparently is reviving these Old Testament concepts like that.
Well, what did we do to the Indians? We defended ourselves from their genocidal attack. That's number one. And then God hates slavery, but God doesn't hate any kind of slavery. He hates Southern slavery, the kind of slavery that existed here in the South. Now, all other slavery,
white on
I guess,
black
is fine.
Slavery.
Right.
Black on white, which existed for over 1,000 years longer than white on black slavery, doesn't count. And Steve Gaines, let me just come out right directly and say it. He's a big fat slob. He's a big pansy. You see him up there. What he needs to do is try to be like his associates. He needs to get him a leather sports coat, get in the tanning bed, take some Nutrisystem, really slim down big, wear a big gold medallion around his chest, and, you know, be groovy like the other people that he has down there now. He's basically turned Southern Bellevue Baptist, which was a bastion of Orthodox Christianity under Adrian Rogers, he turned it into one of these typical latte churches where you have swinging doors like on a saloon, and people go out and get lattes in the
They got a couple of coffee shops at Bellevue now. But let me tell you this about slavery. I regret that slavery ever existed on this continent. I am not a proponent of slavery, despite what you may have read about me. I wish slavery had never existed. It has been horrible for white people. That is the bludgeon that they use to cow so many whites. And for that reason, if nothing else, I regret the fact that slavery was there. But let me tell you what the Bible says about slavery. God hates slavery? Well, then why didn't he outlaw it in his own word? Why did he actually give instructions on how slavery should be administered? Now, I am just using the words from God's holy book. This is what it reads from the Bible itself. God hates slavery. Then why did he say this? If a slave had a wife, when he became enslaved, the wife and the children would go with him. However, if the master has given him a wife, the wife and children remain the property of the master indefinitely. In that case, the slave could choose his family over his freedom and remain a slave for the rest of his life. That comes, out of the book of Exodus, again in Deuteronomy, and again in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. How about the New Testament? If the Old Testament doesn't float your boat, Matthew chapter 24. In Jesus' parable of the faithful servant, wherein Jesus again compares the relationship between God and humankind to that of master and slaves. Jesus warns that slaves who did not obey their masters should be, quote-unquote, cut to pieces. In Ephesians, in Colossians, in 1 Timothy, and in Titus, St. Paul instructs slaves to obey their masters. In 1 Peter, St. Peter instructs slaves to obey their masters. In Colossians, Paul instructs masters to treat your slaves justly and fairly. Now, if God hates slavery, why did he give instructions on how the practice should be administered? Why didn't he just say slavery is a sin, free any slaves you have? Why didn't he say that? Now, I am not advocating for slavery. I am simply reading from the Word of God and saying that all of this crap that you hear in churches today is is lying. Has he not even read the Bible? I've pulled it up in about 2 minutes. Now, I don't have a theology degree, but I ask myself, why did God not say this is a sin? This should be abolished. Anybody who has a slave is in danger of hell fire. I got to say this, Keith, because I'm getting fired up. This guy actually had the audacity to say right after that sermon that a pastor who preaches a soft sermon in these hard times will be severely punished by God. Now, if that's the truth, this guy ought to take out some fire insurance.
Well, look, he sure does preach soft sermons about the sins in the Ten Commandments. I don't hear him getting on his high horse about adultery or about honoring thy father and mother.
Well, he certainly doesn't honor his father and mother. In fact, he's gone out of his way to dishonor his southern fathers and mothers.
Yeah, this is just, you know, what you have to come down to is this. They have invented a new set of sins, and they're ignoring all of the old sins. They're ignoring God's book. They are ignoring, basically, regarding slaves, the Bible says, slaves obey your masters, masters be kind to your slaves. That's about it in a nutshell. Now, if there were not slavery, first of all, basically, every group on earth today that is in existence, any person had ancestors who were slaves. St. Augustine was moved to evangelize or Christianize the British Isles by this pathetic spectacle of blonde-haired, blue-eyed English children being sold as slaves in the slave market in Rome. Africans have been enslaving Europeans much longer than Europeans enslaved Africans. The Barbary Pirates, remember the Marine Corps hymn about the shores of Tripoli? That's a reference to the Barbary Pirates back in 1803 that were defeated by the U.S. Navy. What they did from the early Middle Ages on was send their boats along the coast of Europe and kidnap entire villages of white people. They went as far north as Denmark. They would get the old men and old women and make them walk the plank.
Well, that slavery must have been fine because I haven't heard any sermons condemning that kind of slavery. But let me tell you something.
And furthermore, let me just finish this off. And then the women, the young women, were brought down to Muslim countries to become sex slaves. And the men, the young, healthy, hardy men, became galley slaves pulling the oars on these big galleons that they used to have back then. So let's first of all, dispense with the notion that apparently is the foundation of Steve Gaines' theology that slavery was some diabolical invention of white people to be used to torment black people or to Africans or whatever. This is not what it was. It never was that. And it's good that we don't have slavery now. But quite frankly, if we had not had slavery, there would have been no occasion for black people to be in America, North America, or South America. They didn't have the NBA NFL back then.
That is what the black writer for the Jamaican Observer said, that in spite of its hardships, blacks have the high standard of living, so on and so forth. Everybody knows that to be true. I agreed with them, and then, of course, the media says, I am advocating for slavery or defending slavery. But I'll tell you this. I don't know about that being a sin, but I do know what the Bible says. I know what the Ten Commandments says. Lying is a sin. This is a liar. not honoring your father and your mother. You know, he'd sent in this letter before the Forrest statue was stolen by the city of Memphis saying, you know, he's Steve Gaines, the president. Now, why are we singling him out? He was the most recent former president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Southern Baptist Pope.
The guy that seceded him is actually worse, if you can believe it. There you go. But he sent in this letter as president of the Southern Baptist Convention saying, you know, that we really needed to remove the statue. And I mean, come on. So I'll tell you what, a man who will not defend his family's honor is not a man. And that is not a man.
And Steve Gaines is a big fat fool. Let's just say it out there. And that's what it is. And as a result, Bellevue Baptist is losing membership. You know, take it to the bank, folks. That's what happens when you people ask for a fish and they're given a serpent. They ask for a loaf and they're given a stone. They look elsewhere for spiritual nourishment.
We didn't get to half of what I wanted to get to this hour, but when we come back, we're going to start Confederate History Month 2019 here on TPC. Stay tuned.
It's in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.